Hello, in this video we'll have a look on how we can overwrite the subsite creation experience within a SharePoint site so that you're able to introduce your provider hosted application as the alternative UI for creating subsites. This is one of the samples from the Patterns and Practices, Office 365 Patterns and Practices guidance, and this is one of those typical samples where we use a provider hosted application since you need to have a sufficient amount of control within the code. In certain scenarios, maybe the JavaScript object model would work because you are actually able to create subsites using the JavaScript object model. But as a rule of thumb, we've been using a provider hosted application platform because it provides us additional flexibility within the customization. So what I'm going to do is that I'm going to do an F5 or already deployed the application so that we don't have the trust icon, trust dialog shown when we actually open up the things. And we will be redirected automatically to the subsite or to the application site itself. And this initial experience is not precisely what are we actually looking for, but we used the application to actually show or create the site with the proper configuration. So in your case, you might have then a different set of templates. Let's give it a name. Let's call it a subsite. Let's use a sub as the URL as well. And we can give some sort of a description. If needed, you can customize the subsite experience any way you want for the end users. And now that I click create, what's going to happen is that we start the subsite creation process in our provider hosted application. And in reality, what we're doing is that we are using the web creation object, which is the one which we can use to create subsites. So what I'm going to do here, that I'm going to let the code actually execute. It takes a while because it's creating that subsite, and then it's actually uploading some additional files. And then we go back and have a look on how did we achieve this customization. Subsite creation typically is a synchronous operation because the end user is kind of an assuming that he or she is redirected to the subsite when the subsite is created. So therefore, it's a synchronous operation, and we show that GIF. Well, we can show whatever GIF animation we want for waiting the subsite to be created. And there we go, we have a subsite which has a custom theme and some custom logo and some additional custom settings applied. And now this site is actually showing how the subsite creation can be overridden because this is now already provisioned by us. And that's essentially the trick. So you really want to own the site collection provisioning so you're able to apply the needed customizations to these sites. As an example, you are able to now override this new subsite link within a subsite settings using the JavaScript embedding mechanism. And what I mean with that one is that now that if I click this one, you won't be actually redirected to the out-of-the-box subsite creation application or subsite creation experience. And sorry for that small hiccup. You are redirected to the application UI. Essentially, we are now in our provider-hosted application site, in this particular case, in the dev environment, in a local host. So in a real world, that would be obviously some sort of a subsite creation app.contoso.com or whatever you use within Microsoft Azure or within your on-premises. And now we're able to then start creating additional subsite underneath this subsite, and it's applying all the needed customizations to the site automatically. But how did that actually happen? So how did we override that subsite creation experience? And that's done by using the JavaScript embedding mechanism. So as part of the provisioning, we are uploading the needed files, and let me actually show the code in here. So first of all, what we do is that we create that new web using the web creation information object, which is available natively within CSUN. We can set some things like URL, title, description, and also the language. In this case, it's only English. It could be some other logic what you want to use. We are adding that to the web's collection and doing execute query. That's the one moment when it's actually executing that executing that chains or creating that subsite underneath that particular site. Then we have to do three different things here, or four actually. We are adding a JS link, and the JS link is essentially by taking advantage of so-called JavaScript embed pattern, where we are using user custom action to embed a custom set of scripts within the site. And let me actually explain what I've been doing here. So we have a script URL, which we build dynamically, which is pointing actually to our provider-hosted application. So we want to have a one centralized location where that JavaScript is actually hosted. So now you have a one location where you can modify the JavaScript. Well, it could absolutely point to some CDN. It could point to some other logic as well. And then we create the script and script tags where we actually reference that URL in our script creation. So essentially that's where we include the JavaScript source being that particular URL, which is the customer's injects javascript.js. And then we actually do that embedding. Well, first of all, we'd see if that's existing, if there's an old entry on that one, but then in here we're doing actually the right thing. So this is a user custom action collection from the particular web, and we will add a new user custom action to that user custom action collection by adding that to the collection and saying execute, and that will essentially mean, well, actually, we're adding an item, we're getting that user custom action instance, we're adding the description, location, and the script block, which we just built above. Then we do an update, and then we execute the query. And this means that now, whenever we execute that page, we will have a reference to that JavaScript page itself. So let's actually have a look on this one. If I do view source and find custom, and let me actually go back on the code. Let's have a look on what did we add here. And there we go. Let's search for that one. And it's actually embedded in a different level. Okay, we're not going to worry about that one. Oop, let me switch back in here. Let me do it to F12 and show you how it's actually embedded in the individual JavaScript. So it slightly depends again on how the embedding is done, but typically it's done using the user custom action. So now we're able to see that custom injected JavaScript as one of the files which are loaded automatically as part of the page rendering. So now if I actually open up that one, we're able to see that there's a custom JavaScript which is executed as part of the site creation. And I'm not going to actually zoom here. I'm going to switch back on the Visual Studio, and I'm going to show you that file directly from the Visual Studio so we can actually more easily take advantage of the zooming. So in the custom injected JavaScript, we are first of all taking care of the MDS, the minimal download strategy. So regardless if it's used or not, the JavaScript will be executed. And then we have here code, which is essentially looking into getting things executed. So that's function call, which is for referring to this one, which is essentially checking that is the are we currently in the view lists ASBX underneath the layout folder or the URL, and if we are, we are making a override or executing this particular function. And what we do is that we take an instance to that create new site link, which has its own ID. It has been having that own ID since 2007 version, and we in engineering are aware of this customization option, so that ID is going to be there in the future as well. And then we update that ID or the URL for that href tag to wherever we want to actually upload that. In this particular case, this is a provider-hosted application or demo environment, and in provider-hosted applications, I'm using just the local host. In reality, you could do something like configuring this URL in a root list of the tenant, and then read that dynamically there, so we're able to pinpoint where the users are actually arriving when they click that link. So you don't have to you don't have to override that as a hard-coded value. But now we dynamically then change the href tag or the property for the link to point to that URL, and the result will be that the end users are redirected to that application. So they won't be redirected to the out-of-the-box experience, they will be redirected to the application itself. And this way we are able to then provide that end user, slightly change the end user experience, and then it's up to you or up to your business requirements how this application would look like. So the subsite creation, what are the templates, what we look, what are the information, what do we actually request from the end user. But relatively simple functionality, relatively simple to implement, and hopefully that makes more makes sense to how you can change the end user behavior. That's all we're going to do in this video, so thanks for your time.